You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show was broadcast live to Facebook. In this episode, we're talking to producer and actor Dave Penyuk from the new movie...
Camp Death 3 in 2D.
Sorry. So yeah, this is a really fun one. It's very campy. No pun intended. It's a camp movie, get it? But it reminded me a bit of Student Bodies with just how over the top and ridiculous it was. It's a really good time. If you don't take your horror 100% serious and you can sit back and make fun of it, I would highly recommend this movie. It's a really good time. And I thought it was hilarious. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Open chat room where you can talk to the guests. And then head over to thedorkening.com and check out all the shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. Some awesome shows like Secret Underground, Hideout, The Dorkening, this show you're listening to now, Wicked Horror Show, as well as A Dork Physique, and the Ultimate Video Game Show, which is going to be revamped shortly. We don't know what it's going to be called. Oh my God, I can't wait. So if you enjoy the show... make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, leave suggestions even. You know, suggestions on who you want as guests. We would appreciate it. Here's a word from our sponsor, and then enjoy the show.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Here we go. Okay, with us today we have Kevin.
Hello, everybody.
Wolfman.
Oh! I tried to lean back as far away from the mic.
Who was that?
Yo, yo.
Hey, everybody. I could not hear him.
Yeah. It's okay. It was just Wolfie talking. He likes to do that. Tony.
What is going on, people?
And our very, very special guest, Mr. Dave Penyuk. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, hello.
And we're... Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, Camp Death 3 in 2D, I was searching and searching to see if there was a Camp Death 1 or 2, and there just isn't.
There is not. There is not.
We talked about this on Sit Down.
Oh, did you? I watched the trailer, and I was like, all right, I'm looking forward to this one, you know, because it's... I don't know, like I don't know if this is offensive to the filmmakers in any way, but it had a Student Bodies feel to me.
Student bodies mixed with like the editing of like Tim and Eric Ostrich's great job, somewhat.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not a negative thing. That's not a negative thing in my eyes.
No. And I mean, I'm certainly not offended by that. And Matt, the writer, director, editor, I don't think he would certainly be offended by that either. There's been a lot worse things that have been said about the movie from people that have hated it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I guess from maybe the horror community, some people are very passionate about their horror, and this is a very campy take on a horror movie. It's obviously paying homage to some pretty great movies, but I think it does it in a fun way. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a huge Tim and Eric fan, so I was like... I'm like, some people may think that the editing is, or the, you know, the graphics are a little strange, but I thought it was like, I think this is great. Like, I'm not going to say who, but when there was like one character who was dead, like in a body bag in a chair, I'll just say a chair.
Yeah.
I was like, that just looks like something right out of Tim and Eric right there.
Right.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And that, I mean, sometimes Matt purposely made things not look as good as he has the ability to make them better, which adds, you know, in my personal opinion, adds to the film, right?
Totally.
Of it. Yeah.
Totally. So can you maybe talk a little bit about the film? I know I kind of gave some hints of, you know, somewhat of like what it's like, but what would your description of the film be to someone who hasn't seen it?
in terms of like the what the film is about.
Yeah, like how would you sell this to someone who's like, yeah, I like comedies, I like horror movies, whatever. How would you sell this?
I sell it like this is a film that if you like to toe the political correct line, don't watch it. If offensive humor, and it's offensive to everybody and everything and any type of person, animal, writing, cabins, it offends everything. So if that kind of humor is up your alley, if you really like and appreciate the cheesy campiness of 80s horror films, and you like them and you want to see them done in a funny way, again, it's offensive and politically incorrect, then this is up, you know, this is definitely for you. But it you know, it is very, very over the top, batshit crazy, if I can say that on here.
Yep.
And it's definitely not for everybody. It's a very polarizing film. Most of the people that we've reached out to that focus on horror, most definitely like it, and quite like it. But there's definitely a portion that don't, and they're usually the more hardcore fans that really stick true to horror and they don't like more the over the top comedy.
That's they're just doing themselves a disservice there. Like you gotta be able to make fun of what you love. You have to. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a good time.
One thing actually we should do, we have a couple people in the chat room, Anthony Leone and Billy Baird, Tom from Deadly Grounds also in the chat room. We should play the trailer. And Dave, what did you say during Wolfman's show about the trailer?
Pretty much what you just said a second ago.
Okay.
It's not politically correct. There is the use of R words in it. And that's the first thing I thought when that word came out. I'm like, that's not going to fly well. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure. I mean, I have no problem with it, but I'm sure other people are going to be like, wait a minute. You can't say that anymore. This movie was made 10 years ago. It would be all right, but it's made today. Yeah.
I know, Leo, you want me to say, if you watch the trailer, you're going to watch the trailer. If you watch the trailer, and it actually says this in the trailer, but if you watch the trailer and you don't chuckle at least once or giggle, you won't like the movie at all. So just stay away. But if you do chuckle or giggle or have a good laugh, then you'll probably enjoy the movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time. We highly recommend it. But here we go. Camp Death 3 in 2D trailer.
Weekends are a good time to journey to Camp Crystal Meth. Unless the weekend begins with Friday the 13th. Because 13 is an unlucky number. Especially when that's the number of voices in your head. Luck has run out for these 10 mental outpatients as they've been prescribed 2 heaping spoonfuls of death. Because these are Johann's woods, and he'll run you right out of them. Camp Death 3 in 2D. The legend of Johann continues. They will be chased. They will be stalked. They will be terrorized. They will be cauterized. They will be toasterized. And now, thanks to 2D technology, they will hear Johann's rage. Camp Death 3 in 2D. This is the face of terror. That is the face of terror. Face of terror. Terror face.
Terror face.
Face terror.
Terror face. Face face.
And this is the face of a man with a squirrel attached to it.
Camp Death 3 in 2D.
This film is about as subtle as a rock to the face.
Camp Death 3 in 2D.
In fact, if you have yet to chuckle, avoid this film at all costs.
Camp Death 3 in 2D.
But in all seriousness, though, if you haven't chuckled, don't watch it. It will upset you.
Okay, here we are. We are now back. That was the trailer for Camp Death 3 in 2D.
Yes. And one of the things I brought up while we were watching it is that if you don't think that one scene where the woman is slowly running away from the van is funny, then I don't know. I don't know you as a person, and I don't want to. but
the one thing I was going to bring up is that usually we're not big fans of like digital gore. Like there's a mixture. There seems like there's some practical in there as well. But I think for this movie, for what it is, and for the other part of it, like the Tim and Eric-y look of some of the kills and stuff like that, I think it fits perfectly. You know, it's over the top and it's ridiculous. You know, I think it's in the trailer, the whole toaster scene. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Like you've never seen that in a movie for sure.
No, they came up. Well, Matt came up with some really imaginative ways to kill off the attendants of the camp, including some of the counselors. And then there's that one scene where they go through and kill like 100 people you see on screen, basically. You know, I'm not giving away too much.
Maybe yeah.
A little bit, maybe not. that was really interesting because Matt actually filmed that. He was trying to get into the Guinness Book of World Records for most amount of practical effect kills.
Oh, wow.
In 24 hours or 12 hours or something like that. I can't remember what it was. So he posted on Craigslist and Kijiji and all these things to try and just bring as many people as he possibly could that wanted to potentially get in his film and just have practical ways of killing them. So they just filmed a whole bunch, put like tarps down everywhere, and just filmed a whole bunch of it. And a bunch of it actually got into the film, which is, you know, I never thought that would, but he got it in there.
And did he set the record?
Yeah. Did he set the record?
I think he was close, but the problem was that they didn't get an official Guinness person to come and witness it.
Nah.
Even though he had it on film.
Technicalities.
They needed somebody there to kind of time it and count. Yeah. So it, you know, and he wasn't really even that worried about it. It was more just for publicity.
Still, right. that would have been a great amount of PR, you know, something you could put on the cover, you know, Guinness World Record for most kills, and, you know. It's like,
people would have been all over it. Yeah, they would have been just like, "Oh, this! I need to have this in my collection." Yeah, I think with the Guinness thing, I think you have to pay for someone to be there too. I think like in order for someone to come down, I think you have to pay for them to be there, which is crazy.
Yeah, and again, because this was a very, very low budget film, he wasn't going to spend money on that.
Yeah, but whatever. It's still really cool. One of the things I liked in the movie too is like, you know, they and again, hopefully this isn't giving away too much. They introduce a lot of characters. Like towards the beginning of the movie, and then there's a reference like "Where is everybody?" kind of deal, and then they have to like really quickly like figure out. Okay, so I'm assuming that was a situation where people maybe you only had them for a day, and they you know they just did their part and they were gone.
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting because this was very guerrilla style filming. We did a bunch on an island for about 10 to 14 days at the very beginning, and then we kind of. Like pieced a bunch of it together afterwards on very shoot days, just very sporadically. And so some of the people that were, you know, on the island where we first started filming, they ended up never coming back. So we didn't even get to kill them off. So that's sometimes what happens. So Matt actually had to do some CGI with their faces and stuff like that to show that they had died, even though they weren't part of the film anymore. Like they either... they couldn't make it or they're just like, I don't want to be part of this. Like, it's not going anywhere. Whatever. Just typical indie stuff, right? Where just you never know what the hell's going to happen. So that's, in some cases, that's actually what happened is that we filmed them, you know, for one part and then we didn't actually get to their kill. And then so like a year later, Matt's like, oh, hey, okay. I know I need you so-and-so to come and I got to kill you off. And they're like, no, I'm busy or I'm doing this or I'm not acting anymore, whatever the reason might be. So there was actually a few times that happened.
I can't even imagine doing that. I can't imagine being like, yeah, I'm going to be in this cool movie. It's going to be ridiculous. And I just, I'm busy that day. Like, I can't, I don't know. I guess priority.
It's kind of amazing.
Actors can be very flaky.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It's true that it always shocks me. But that's honestly what it comes down to is just some actors are very, very flaky. Even some of the best ones are flaky.
Yeah.
But some of them are.
So you talked about like, you know, like people may be thinking this isn't going to go anywhere. Speaking of where it's going, is it going to be getting a physical release or what's the plan with this?
Yeah, definitely. Right now we're doing the festival circuit. So we've got into 12, I think actually I just saw 13 down south somewhere. I just saw on Facebook. So yeah, we're up to 13 or 14 festivals that we've gotten into so far. So Matt hasn't set any dates yet because he wants to kind of run the festival circuit through. He's got some distributors that have talked to him about a Blu-ray DVD release, a hard copy release. But that he didn't want to sign anything because he wanted to see what happened on the festival circuit. Because who knows? We might meet somebody that just loves it, and hey, this is going to be a cult classic. I want a piece of it. So that's what we're doing right now. But if you go on to Facebook and follow or like our Camp Death 3, that's my dog. Sorry,
it's okay.
that's she's agreeing with me, obviously.
She's like, yeah.
Go on to Facebook, Camp Death 3 in 2D, like the page, and we update things regularly on there. So that's probably going to be the best place to find if we're doing a hard copy release, or if we're going to come to your town, or whatever that looks like. But we're in a bunch of festivals right now, so nice. That might be a good way to see it as well.
Yeah, it would be cool to see. I had a reaction to it, but I'm curious to seeing it in a large group of people, like how that would go.
Yeah, I'm going to the Spooky Empire, a really big convention and festival in Orlando next week.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be my first time seeing it on the big screen and in front of a bunch of people. It's a midnight showing, which apparently is supposed to be quite popular at that event. So it'll be I'm both excited to be there and a little bit scared because I know how polarizing it can be.
Hopefully you guys post some kind of footage or something of how that goes on the Facebook, because I'm very curious. Like, I don't know, Wolfie, I know you, and Tony too, I know you've both seen it, but did you get a student bodies vibe out of this?
I can see what you're saying about that. I personally, I told Dave this earlier, to me, I liked it, but it was a little too goofy for me.
Well, student body is also very goofy, but
it is. Yeah. But I mean, there were some scenes I thought could have been shortened up. We got to the point where it just seemed like it went on a little too long. It was an okay shot, beautifully, looks great, acting well, just not my flavor of comedy,
Okay.
Which is but the interesting thing was that when Dave and I were talking earlier, 4 years, dude, this took 4 years to make.
4 years, really? Wow.
Yeah, it was around a year and a half of filming, and not steady, obviously, but just kind of the way that it worked out. So it was around a year and a half of filming, and then two and a half years of Matt editing, re-editing, doing a couple of extra little shots here and there. It took a long time, and I think that was in large part because he did it all himself. He's an editor kind of by trade, and he just kept perfecting it and kept kind of making sure that he brought it back to his original vision of just being this spoof of the 80s slasher films. And then throwing in the Caddyshack references and a little airplane references and he just kept working back to kind of his original vision, which is great. It just took him so long because he was doing it on his own. It just took this long to get there.
Yeah. Tony, what did you think? Like, as far as this, my student body, like, that's all I can think of. In certain scenes, I'm like, this is like a student body for a new like generation almost.
No, it definitely had, like, when I was watching it, because like I said, I'm more of a horror comedy fan myself, but it had like the 80s horror comedy vibe, like the student bodies and what's the other one? I was thinking something else came along, but then you mentioned like Caddyshack. As I'm watching some of this stuff, I'm like, it pulls from different like genres too when I'm watching it. And because I saw the trailer, and I'm just like, this is definitely a movie that would be right up my alley. And I was watching it and it just kept going. It didn't stop. Like, that's the thing I loved about it, is like, there's some movies where it has some stuff and you're like, it dies a little bit in the middle. This just started and just kept going and going and jumping like all over the place. I'm like, I don't even know where I am right now, but it's a good, I don't know where. Like, there's some movies that I'm like, I lost this movie and I don't know what it, like, you don't have to be seen, is just a different, it's its own, hilarity.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
we're saying that because you broke up on the internet. Yeah.
But you know one thing this movie didn't have, though?
What?
Death by coffee bean.
What? Oh, Death by Coffee Bean. I was like, oh, that's not even the name of the company. Death by Coffee Bean. What?
So I wanted to bring up our sponsor of this fine show, Deadly Grounds Coffee. I finished my coffee early, which makes me sad, but I'm drinking Death by Chocolate tonight. You're not drinking anything, are you, Kevin?
No, I'm not drinking anything tonight, but I did have maple walnut today at work.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I need to get some more of that.
You did?
I totally did. It was delicious.
I need to place another order with Tom. Did you buy anything on Friday when you saw him?
I didn't. I still have to pay him for the last order. Oh. Sorry, Tom. It was from what I saw, he was doing well. You know, like sales were good. So, and even on Facebook, it looked like they had very, very little left at the end of the con.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Anthony Leone says pumpkin spice power. Yeah.
I
got
a bunch of average white girls walking around with your pumpkin spice.
But don't listen to us. Deadly Grounds Coffee, he brews it with like a special magic oil.
I was going to say something. No, I'm not going to say it anymore.
That just makes the taste just phenomenal. We absolutely love it. It's our favorite coffee here on The Dorkening. And but, you know, don't listen to us. Here's a zombie telling you about Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Yeah, right.
So that, like, we got to get it now. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, he sells out fast. We're back, but we're still talking Deadly Grounds Coffee. But he's we absolutely love the stuff. But he's a local roaster here in Connecticut, and you know, that's how he sells his stuff at the cons. He's just giving it away for free.
The dog wants coffee too.
just free samples, and it works because it's just it tastes. I've never had anything like it. It's just amazingly well-tasted coffee.
So if there's a Death Camp 4 in 1D, I don't know.
1D.
I guess we're recommending Death by Coffee Bean,
or Coffee Grinder. That'd be painful.
Coffee Grinder, that's a good one too. I'm sure Matt can easily bring something like that in. And I believe if we get to do a part 4 or a sequel to this one, I think Matt wants to call it Camp Death 3 in 3D Part 2.
Okay. Will it actually be in 3D, though?
I think that if the budget is big enough, yes.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I'll feel bad because I won't have a way to watch it in 3D because I don't have a 3D anything.
Ah.
So, but I'll just
pretend. I'd feel bad because I can't do 3D at all because it doesn't register to my eyes.
I'm sure I'll watch it. The 2D version for everybody.
That's true.
I'll watch it in 2D.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, yeah, I know where it's supposed to. I know where the 3D was supposed to.
It'll have to be like the Friday the 13th, where it's just obviously you're shoving, like the old SCT thing, where it's like,
someone's juggling, you know?
Yeah.
That's exactly Matt's vision is to do it like Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D, right? And have that. It's just so horribly done that it's funny, right?
Like, there's no reason for this to happen, but it's going to happen because we paid for the 3D.
As the person stands there and juggles a bunch of coffee grinders and then
So we got a couple comments here. Anthony Leone says special spice oil, ha ha ha. Richard Fish Coburn says I enjoyed this movie. Yes, it is stupid, but that's its appeal.
Exactly. Don't take yourself too seriously, right? Have fun. That's what this movie is. It's fun.
He thinks this is day three or four on his 31 Days of Horror Movies Binge-a-thon series on his YouTube channel. And Billy Baird says, when is Camp Death 3 in 2D being released? It's out on in the film festivals right now. So if you want to see it, that's your best bet right now. Which film festivals are you doing recently or coming up?
Coming up, we're at Sin City Horror Fest in Vegas, which is next weekend, or is it this weekend? It's this weekend. We're doing the Columbus, Ohio Nightmares Film Festival in Columbus, and that's, I think, this weekend as well. We're doing the Spooky Empire Festival in Orlando, the really, really big one with the whole convention and everything. That's next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. Yeah, the best way to find out is go to our Facebook page, Camp Death 3 in 2D, and it has a list of all the different festivals. And then you can also go to our Film Freeway account, which is listed on the Facebook, and it shows all the one. So that's the kind of the best way to follow if we're coming to a festival near you.
So you're going to be at Spooky Empire, and Matt's going to be at Columbus?
Yeah, and he's also, Matt's going to go to Columbus, and he's also going to Grand Rapids. I can't remember what it's called. There's one in Grand Rapids right around the same time, Michigan.
Cool. So okay. We haven't heard from Yo-Yo on his thoughts of the movie. What do you have to say
about
the movie?
You ever see the movie Kung Pao?
Kung Pao, yeah. I've seen
That's it. What it reminds me of in like all the best ways.
Okay.
Like it, you know, a movie that just goes for it.
Yeah.
Like it's not gonna, it's super crazy, super funny. Doesn't care like what you think.
Yeah, like over the top.
Yeah.
It, yeah, exactly. It's just like, all right, this obviously isn't real, so we don't care. Yeah, we're gonna make it look as crazy as possible. It's very, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So
same here.
Yeah, so I really think, you know, if you're a horror fan and you don't take yourself too seriously, I think you would enjoy this one. Mm. We didn't really hear from Leah, though, either.
You don't want to hear from me. No, I'm joking. I absolutely loved it. You know, it's these type of movies that I really enjoy. You know, I'm not a big horror guy, but
He actually turned the lights off for this one.
I did.
You know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And then he's just like, a few minutes later, he's like,
you know, it definitely has. I got a really big Chris Seaver vibe from it,
but not. And I'm not dissing Chris Seaver, way higher production value.
Yes,
but yeah, I don't disagree. The same, a teen ape.
Yeah, exactly. The same type of goofiness, kind of vibe,
but obviously different. Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun with it. Absolutely loved it. And I can't wait for it to come out. You know, it's definitely one I highly recommend to anybody to see.
Yeah, and I'm going to totally add it to my collection. I'm going to put it right next to Student Bodies. I'll watch them back to back. Have you seen Student Bodies?
I have not. No, I've heard of it. I've heard kind of various things about it, but I haven't seen it.
It's ridiculous.
Is that the one when, while they're killing people, there's like a counter that goes up?
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. And like they kill... Like it gets pretty racist at times because it's an older movie.
82?
Yes, something like that. But it's pretty over the top. And like there's a scene where like a guy's on the phone and he's just like, click. He's like, did you say click? Did you just hang up on me? No, I just said click. Like it's just so dumb. And like the school janitor guy, Malbert, who pees red. And yeah, it's over the top. I love it. It's definitely not for everybody, that's for sure. But it's just like, it brings me back, you know, when I was a kid trying to rent the weirdest stuff, you know, and then we stumbled across that one. And I'm just like, yes, this is my life right here. And there's a lot of scenes in this movie where I'm like, if me and my friends wrote a movie as, you know, with our humor, it would be this scene right here. Like we'd be all about this. So it has, you know, a special spot in my heart.
Yeah, right. It proves you have a heart.
Not much of one, but it's there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm curious what was each of your favorite part of Camp Death 3 and 2D or made you laugh the most or just what you enjoyed the most?
I'll go first.
Yeah. I'll go first. That's not a problem. It's the cop in the Darth Vader helmet, you know, going down the road. I don't want to give too much away, but
the spandex outfit as well is just like, why is he wearing that? But the good, I wasn't even sure
what he was on at the time. And then they do a far. I'm like, I'm still going,
what the hell is that? I've never seen one of those before. What is it?
Cool. But yeah, he has a Darth Vader helmet on, and it looks like
it's half of one.
Well, it's not the face. It's, like the, it's back, the rest. It's everything else.
Back. Yeah,
it's the helmet. It just made me think that either they were trying to find like one of those 1960s British police hats and couldn't find one, and this was the best thing that they could do to substitute. Well, it's got the same crown shape. But that was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Cool.
Okay. Just to add on to that, like I was saying, I don't know if you could hear, but he was wearing the spandex, and I was like, how is that even feasible? But then there's a few parts where you can see, like, because he was covered in badges, and like,
yeah,
you could see the badges through the spandex. So I'm like, he's still wearing that underneath this. I'm like, that's just it's so weird. But it was great. And that actually years ago, I did a sketch with my friend Bill, and I wore the back half of a Vader helmet, and it was supposed to be like a Swedish take on Star Wars. And my name, instead of Darth Vader, was Dietz Wiedenheimer was my name.
There was a kids baseball movie where they used the Darth Vader, just the back half as well. The kid couldn't afford a helmet, so he used that. It was like one of the Bad News Bears or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tony, what is your favorite part of the movie?
Without
giving too much away.
The little squirrel. There's a squirrel in there. And the other thing that caught me off guard was a random musical number.
Me too.
Yeah, I was just like, oh god, that I was just like, I was like, okay.
I'm just like, froze.
I froze. No, but the musical. I was just like, okay, like this is random, but I like it.
But that's also a throwback to Stage Fright from 1982, which was all that is. It was at a camp for like theater people.
Oh,
so
I never saw that.
And then that might have been. I know Matt wanted to do from the get go. He wanted to do at least one musical number, if not two or three. And he had one that was this epic. Like everybody was dancing, everybody was singing, but we just ran out of time trying to do it with all the cast. So down the road, probably almost 2 years later, a year and a half plus later, originally filming, he asked Jason, the actor, to do that. And so they filmed that out in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, I'm glad you liked that, Tony.
Because especially with like that character, I was just like, okay, like, definitely not the person I'd expect. But
he still stayed in character in the song.
No, yeah. Definitely.
He said things that he would have said. There's a few things that I just really thought, like, you know, some movies maybe just would give it like one line, but it just kept going, like the doomed thing and the weed whacker thing. Yeah. And then I already brought it up, but when she's slowly running away from the van, but I like how that ended. He's like, no, let me do it. And he's just like, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice little surprise twist there.
Yeah. I thought that was really good. So, Yo-Yo, for you, was it the musical?
Oh, it was the musical. I was not expecting that.
Yeah. What about you, Leo?
Easily the van scene. After that would probably be the
speeder bike. The speeder bike. Reference, yeah.
Yeah, that was absolutely goofy.
And how that all ends.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. how do you use this thing? And he's just like, there's something really small in here. Let me look. Yeah.
And the name they gave for the speeder bikes, you know, it was, what was it? It was something like, I can't remember what it was, but it was
like a cross between like a speeder bike and like, it reminded me of Tron. Like, so it was like kind of both.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I think Matt wanted it to look obviously not well done, but closest to Return of the Jedi. I know, right? Hard to believe.
Real quick, you can see part of probably all of these scenes in the trailer. For the people just joining us, William Pace says, hey, Dorkening. We're going to show the trailer again for Camp Death 3 in 2D out right now in the film circuit.
I was going like, huh? Like, it is? No, it's in, it's not in the film. No, yeah, well, it's in
film festivals.
Well, conventions and film festivals, yeah.
Exactly. Here we go. Camp Death 3 in 2D.
Weekends are a good time to journey to Camp Crystal Meth. Unless the weekend begins with Friday, the 13th. Because 13 is an unlucky number. Especially when that's the number of voices in your head. Luck has run out for these 10 mental outpatients as they've been prescribed 2 heaping spoonfuls of death. Because these are Johann's woods. And he'll run you right out of them. Camp Death 3 in 2D. The legend of Johann continues. They will be chased. They will be stalked. They will be terrorized. They will be cauterized. They will be toasterized. And now, thanks to 2D technology, they will hear Johann's rage. Camp Death 3 in 2D. This is the face of terror. Is the face of terror. Face of terror. Terror face. Terror face. Face terror. Terror face. Face face. And this is the face of a man with a squirrel attached to it. Camp Death 3 in 2D. This film is about as subtle as a rope to the face. Camp Death 3 in 2D. In fact, if you have yet to channel, avoid this film at all costs. Camp Death 3 in 2D. But in all seriousness, though, if you haven't chuckled, don't watch it. It will upset you.
Yeah, and Tony, he can't stop laughing.
Oh, my God, he loves this. He's like, ah! That's all he's doing right now. Oh, he's fantastic.
Either that or he finished an 80s sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's at the end of, what is that, the Naked Gun, the Police Squad.
Yep.
Yeah, he's at the end of Police Squad. Anyways, one of the things that was, I mean, I don't know if it was for time or whatever, but a lot of the stuff was obviously sped up. And yeah. So was that for time, or was that on purpose? Like, was that the plan when you were filming it, when you guys were making it?
I don't think it was the plan while we were filming it for Matt to speed it up. I think when it was all said and done, I know some of the sound recording, we had to ADR a little bit of it. So yeah, I guess he just came up with this idea to speed it up. And I actually haven't even asked him why, but there's no point, because it's like I could ask him why 1,000 times. Why did you do it that way? And that's just the way that he thinks and does things. So yeah, I'm not quite sure. And it's not everybody's cup of tea, but again,
I think it adds to it. I think like it adds to like the quirkiness of the movie, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So I know that, right now you guys don't have any plans you want to put it on a DVD and Blu-ray, but right now it's in the film festival circuit. When it does come out on Blu-ray and DVD, I need to ask a favor. When it comes to special features, we need a commentary.
Oh.
With at least, you know, part of the cast, the director, you know, writer. I want to hear all the stories from everybody. I want to hear every little dirty detail of making this movie, you know?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Wolfman, because this film was so much fun to film, but we had so much adversity as well, because there was a couple people that left, you know, they walked off set because they, again, partially because of the very offensive nature of it at times. So there's people, a couple people were like, you know, we can't say these things, and we can't treat people this way. And so a couple of the actors walked off set. We had a producer that walked, gave up and said, I'm getting off this. I don't want a part of it because it's just so over the top and politically incorrect. Wow. There was a bunch of fighting between Matt and someone else, I won't name at this point, that tried to take over the film when Matt kind of, at one point was like, I don't want to finish it. I can't get into all details right now, but all of that stuff. Like, I actually want to do a behind the scenes, like a making of Camp Death 3, because it, you would not believe the stories. I'd love to share more than I can, but a commentary would be good.
See, now I would actually, the people that walked off the set, even like the ones you were talking about earlier, where like they came out and they filmed for a while and then they just left out of nowhere, I would invite them back to the to do the commentary.
Yeah.
And then like halfway through the commentary, just have them leave.
Or you guys leave. So you're filming it, like actually video commentary, not just audio. And then like you get offended at something they say, you just get up and take off. Yeah. Like, I can't do this anymore. You're ridiculous.
I'm thinking just have them leave. And so that, you know, another 20 minutes go by and you go, oh yeah, so-and-so is not here anymore. You know, just.
So we have some
I love commentaries. It's my favorite. Go ahead, Leo.
We have some comments. William Pace says, this is great, LMAO. Billy Baird says, gotta love the guy in the wheelchair getting knocked out. And his character, I absolutely loved, because he's just, you know, he's just so much he's bad abused. Luck.
He's just abused, like, horribly.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, Barry Brown, my right-hand man. Chris Allen, he played the part. And he was so enthusiastic about getting his ass kicked every step of the way, but he's always optimistic. He's even more optimistic than my character, which is, I don't know how that's possible, but yeah, he just smiled through it. Yeah. Smiled at it all. And the sleep apnea thing, I won't say what, but when he's at the pool and that again was one of those things. I think he actually came up with that on the spot. He's done some stand-up comedy over the years and stuff too, but yeah, he was a lot of fun being kind of my right hand.
Yeah,
my wheelie friend, you've gone to a better place.
I want to point out again that Tony's still loving every bit of this.
I know.
I can get a picture of that. It's perfect.
That should be the thumbnail for the show. That's the thumbnail for this episode. Anyways,
I'll put it on him. We'll take a screen capture when it catches up.
Send it to Mac going, Tony loving Camp Blood 3 and 2D. He
loved it so much he sat like this for a good 10 minutes. So one of the things you should do with the special features, because some of the footage is sped up, you should offer, you know, have an option to listen to it sped up as well.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Same commentary, but like at 2x speed.
Like, yeah, like podcasts, you can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's some good ideas. I'll pass these along to Matt for sure. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm with Wolfie though. Like, I love special. Like, it almost makes me feel like I'm more apt to buy like a special edition if it has those features. You know, like, yeah. So even it'll end up being twice the price, but I don't care. Like, it's got that stuff. I want to listen to it.
Yeah, and to be honest, given that the final runtime is 81-82 minutes, I think we. The first cut was 105 minutes. So there's already 20 plus minutes that have been taken out that could easily go into, you know, a special edition. And some of the parts that he took out, like, I love them. They're so funny, but they did slow, you know, make the film longer. So he cut them, but there's so much extra stuff and so many outtakes. Like, I was just telling you how many times in particular was laughing my ass off. Even just watching some of that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So have you worked
kind of cool to,
sorry, go ahead, Wolfie.
I was gonna say he said earlier that, you know, Matt's original Matt's original idea was not idea, but the original cut was 105 minutes. It'd be kind of cool if we could watch the rough cut.
Yeah.
Comparative to it, you know, it's like, hey, let's watch the rough cut. Now let's watch the actual movie, and you know, you see what was taken out and how things developed or were just, you know, brushed away.
Yeah, 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 and that's just it, right? Like, I know when I watched the rough cut, there was a couple times where it felt a little bit long, but then I watched another cut that was maybe 88 minutes or something, and then that felt pretty good, and then he got down to 81 or 82, and then I watched that one, and that's where it's at. I think it's definitely better that he did shorten it, but it would be fun to rewatch that, you know,
uncut. Yeah, have the option, like...
Yeah, yeah.
So that we can be like, oh yeah, I got to see those scenes. It made sense to cut them, but you know, at least I got to see them, kind of deal. Yeah. So have you worked with Matt before? Like how long of a work relationship have you guys had?
Yeah, for me, it's just been this film, so and everything kind of around it. But I met him at the audition originally for almost 4.5 years ago, June of 2014. And so it was a really, really fun audition process where we got to, he narrowed us down from, he saw like 300 people for the 30 parts or whatever there originally was. And he narrowed it down. And it was really fun because and this never happens in filmmaking, at least that I've ever been involved with, where we basically would once he got the cast to be who it was, every week we would meet for about 3 hours and we would just improv scenes and play a little bit of the scene, but then also just play and get to know each other. So we really kind of gelled as a unit. And we did that for 2 months before we actually filmed. So it was almost like rehearsing for a play, like doing theater, but we were doing this for a feature film. So it was a great way to get to know each other and really bring the best out. And I think that's why you see like most of the cast, if not all the cast, is having a lot of fun filming.
Yeah. So that one character, I forget the character's name, but the one who's in the neck brace, was that something where like during that time period, is that how she developed her character, or was that the plan going in, or did she just like go over the top?
The plan was for her to not have any vertebrae, so why she's wearing the cast.
Yeah,
so that was always the plan, but
the way she played it though, yeah,
the way she played it was definitely that all came through that rehearsal process, which was fantastic. And even my character Todd, I became a lot more excited about everything after we worked on that. I think because Matt he saw that I could get very excitable and all that. And he just said, yeah, I really want you to be just that super positive. Hey, everything's going to be okay. We can make this happen. Do anything kind of guy. And so that came through too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Leo had mentioned that it reminded them kind of like a Chris Seaver movie. And there's a director that we know named Chris Seaver. But the one thing with those guys is that they're all like long-term friends. Mm-hmm. So these are people that have known each other since, like, they're little kids.
Yeah.
So it had a vibe of a movie of a director that we know that works with like pretty much just friends. So that's pretty awesome that you guys didn't have like that much of a like long working relationship beforehand. And you guys were able to really kind of put off that vibe. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There was three or four that had worked with Matt on some of his other films before. So they kind of knew him a little bit, but the majority of us didn't know Matt at all. So it was just kind of that, I think that rehearsal really helped. And then we were stuck on an island basically for 10 to 14 days filming. So we just gelled there as well. So I think that's probably why you see a lot of that more than a regular independent film where it's just in and out, you know, 10 days or even not even shot over 4 weekends or 8 weekends and that's it.
Right? Yeah. I was looking at some of Matt's other stuff. I didn't know if he was going to be on tonight or not, but I was watching the trailer for the documentary he did called No Joke.
Yeah.
And the guy who, the weed whacker guy, is in No Joke, right? Yeah. He's like a comic who like carves, he's basically a human vibrator.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to see that documentary. I really want to see it. I don't know where to find it though.
Yeah. I don't know where to find it. You could reach out to Matt and ask him, but okay. It's painful to watch, to be honest, because it's literally a documentary about bad comics. Bad, like they're not funny. They're just not. They have the odd part that's funny, but most of it is not. And so that Matt just, because Matt started, one of the things he did when he was younger was he did stand up comedy, and he was not good at it. And that's one of the reasons why he's not on this right now, because he doesn't do well with this kind of. He's way better in email and just in his place doing his thing. So he came up with the idea, well, why not do a film about actual bad comedy and the shit that they go through? And it's painful, but it's interesting to watch.
Yeah. It looks pretty interesting because they're Canadian comics who go to like to the US and they end up in Hollywood and them trying out for like the Laugh Factory. But they're like comics that like, you know, they think they're funny, but no one else does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love stand up. So like, I'm all about it. So I was watching. I was like, it's very interesting. I'll reach out to him because I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah,
but, he seems like an interesting dude. Like that's another good thing about this show is that we get to learn of directors that we maybe never would have heard of before.
Never would have heard
of, yeah. No, Matt's a great guy, but he's very introverted. He's very kind of, he does his own thing. And
you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, man. We don't hold it against anyone. If you want to come on and promote your thing, or if you want someone else to come on and promote it for you, more power to you. We're not going to twist your arm. It's like, if his thing is to do everything at home and, you know, and let someone else do the voice for it, that's, we're fine with that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool. And I certainly appreciate you being cool with me coming on versus not, right?
So, you're basically the head. I mean, he's basically the headline of the show because it's his idea to put this camp together. And, you know,
hey, I'm the chump in charge, right? I'm the chump in charge.
That's right.
He's been servicing nuts since 1982.
That's right.
Exactly. Pleasuring nuts.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Yeah.
One thing you guys should do as well when it finally gets a release, you should make those shirts available for people to buy.
Yeah, 100%. I need to get a bunch done whenever we get everything kind of ready to go. When I go to Florida, I was thinking about bringing some, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go through all of that. So I probably won't. But by all means, we're going to make sure that we get some ready to be sold.
Well, Tony looks like he wants one. So.
Oh, yeah. Pointing at my shirt. He's just like, I like that.
He loves that. So besides, you know, Camp Death 3 in 2D, I always want to switch it around. What else do you have in the works? Like, what else have you been working on yourself as an actor?
A few things. One thing that I'm excited about is we filmed a TV pilot last year. Now we're just finally, it's kind of like Camp Death 3 and 2D took 4+ years to get done. Our TV pilot's been almost a year in the making. But we filmed a TV pilot in Vancouver last year, and it's around five gondrepreneurs. Basically, they open up a marijuana dispensary, and they don't know what the hell they're doing.
So, gondrepreneurs. I just got that.
he's new to things. Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah. So I'm the lead character, Miller, in that, and it's my store. And I've got kind of this Jesus look about me. I've got long hair and a big, massive beard, and I'm trying to open up my own dispensary with the help of my friends, and it's just all the shit that happens and how it's not as easy as one would think to open up a dispensary and all these things. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's called The High Five, and we're just about finished it, and then we're going to start shopping it to see if we can find somebody that wants to finance the rest of the season, the first season and beyond. So that's pretty fun. And then I'm starting to do my own little sketches. I'm going to start building up my YouTube channel and having just little 1-3 minute little sketch videos. Some might be a little bit more episodic. But yeah, I'm starting to build that up. And then, just got some commercials going on down here, and just always working on either my own stuff or friend stuff or auditioning in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So do you find writing hard?
I do, and it's why I usually lean on other people to do it for me, and then I take it and I act in it and I produce it. I've got a buddy here in LA that wrote The High Five. It was his idea, and we just kind of spitballed it, and I would kind of be the written editor, but you know, I'd come in with my ideas and we play with it. But he definitely writes; he's the writer. My stuff, again, I write a little bit, but it's not my forte, even though I like doing it, but I find it really, really hard.
And who are the other people involved with The High Five?
Darren Andrechuk is in it, who's Uncle Mel in Camp Death. He, and I, ironically or not, his name is Uncle Lungs in The High Five.
His career is nothing but uncles.
That's right. In this case, he can take a tremendous hit of a bong. And we don't know how he holds it in his lungs for so long, but that's how he came up with his name, Uncle Lungs. So he's in it. Actually, Barry Brown, Chris Allen, who is my wheelie counselor in Camp Death 3, he's briefly in it as an inspector of the dispensary. Trying to think of some of the other big people in it. I don't know if there's anybody else from Camp Death in it, but there's definitely a few. So... anyways, no big names that necessarily you would know, but a few people for sure from Camp Death.
Well, now
that's cool.
Now certainly the time to make that type of show, because you know, ganja in the news is just going to keep on getting more and more popular.
I do have to say, you saying the word ganja was the most uncomfortable thing that's happened today for me. You know what I do for work, and that was the most chilling thing I've heard today, is you going ganja
in the news.
Oh my god. You know, I started playing around with stocks, and like weed stocks are the place to be right now. But also, they're coming out with a weed energy drink in Canada.
And Coca-Cola is coming out with one. That's what Joe.
Yep.
I always want to call it Joe Pincushion.
Yeah.
But that's one of her names that she goes by. But when we're at the con, there's a comic book that came out called the Token Dead, and it's We interviewed those guys.
But real quick, did you ask them about if they got their inspiration from the Breaking Dead, Walking Dead fan theory?
No.
No?
No. By Breaking Dead, you mean Breaking Bad, though, right?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. The Breaking Dead. Or is that like a breakdancing zombie movie?
That's going to be the crossover. Breaking.
That's popping.
Or is it Breaking Bread?
Oh yeah,
it's a whole different term of pop and lock.
You know? Yeah,
Breaking Dead is going to be the crossover episode, because that's when you find out the blue meth was the cause of the zombie apocalypse.
That's probably all that will be able to save the Walking Dead, is if that happens, because it's on its way out.
Brian Cranston showing up for 5 minutes. That's
again. Tony's still loving every bit of this.
Just come and go tonight to him.
Hopefully he's okay. Yeah. He hasn't been breathing or anything.
Yeah, hopefully he leaves his camera on. So
now that's lungs. Doesn't matter.
He's auditioning for Uncle Lungs 2.
So we are at the 10 o'clock hour. Dave, is there anything else you'd like us to bring up before we wrap things up?
If you're into horror comedies and spoofs, definitely go to our Facebook page, Camp Death 3 and 2D, and look up which festivals we're getting into, because we're getting all over the country, into Canada, down south, somewhere in South America, I just heard today. So that's the best place to try and find out, or even just like the page so you can hear when we're going to have a hard release, because we will, my guess is in the early new year. So check that out. And if you want to follow me and see what crazy things I'm doing as Miller in the High Five, and follow me and watch some of my funny little sketch videos, best place is probably just go to Instagram and follow me at Poonses.
Cool.
Right. Yeah. And so if you're interested in following Dave or Camp Death, I know I'm going to reverse that at one point. Check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us, to find all the links there, along with the link to Deadly Grounds Coffee, our sponsor. I want to thank you all for watching tonight, and we'll do the rundown. So, Dave, you mentioned Instagram is best bet. You like people following you on Instagram, and then also Facebook, Camp Death.
Yes, for sure. Those are the two best spots to follow Camp Death 3, and then anything related to me and what I'm doing.
Sounds good. Okay, who wants to speak for Tony?
Tony should speak for himself. TheLaughingMan.com. That's his new website.
Yeah. If you want to follow Tony on Instagram, it's at Tony's Movies. Also, Tony Has Nine Fingers. Also, on Facebook and Twitter. And I'm sure there's something else there. Horomino.
Yeah, Horomino is right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and Yo-Yo.
And
we should start Indiegogo to get him better internet.
Doesn't he also have the Stardust app?
And the one thing, you know, I know Wolfie's going to bring it up. He's doing his 31 Days of Halloween on his channel, Tony Has Nine Fingers. So definitely go check that out. He's been pretty consistent with that stuff. And that's that for him.
Yo-Yo.
Boy Meets Phone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing social media, should probably be somewhere around there. Also, Yo Saint Laurent on those same social media channels. And of course, you can find me here.
Wolfie.
You can follow me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing the Wicked Horror Reviews with Kev. You know, and right now I am doing my 31 Days of Halloween, and you should check out today's video because it's a good one. Tomorrow is actually probably the most modern movie that I've watched. It's actually so modern, it's 2018.
Oh, geez.
And go check out, like the guys are saying, also go check out Tony Has Nine Fingers. He does 30 Days, Half October. His are all indie films. They're all done in alphabetical order. You know, he's always pulling something interesting and cool out. So, Kev?
A-Knuckle on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me every Sunday on the Dorkening Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing Wicked Horror reviews with Wolfie. And I think that's it. You'll find me at the movie theater this Thursday watching Halloween. You can do that.
There you go. And so we do this show multiple times a week. The Wicked Horror Show is live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, where we interview indie celebrities like Dave tonight, talking about Camp Death 3 and 2D. Next week, next week's going to be a toss-up. Got several things in the mix here that we're working on. And also the Dorkening, we do that every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And we're also working on a special project that's going to be replacing the video game show. So stay tuned for more information. I want to thank you all for watching. Check the show notes down below or up above for more information about our guest and us and Deadly Grounds Coffee. We'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Peace.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And The Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.